are listening to Conversations with Nathan Latka, where I sit down and interview the top SaaS founders, like Eric Yuan from Zoom. If you'd like to subscribe, go to getlatka.com. We've published thousands of these interviews, and if you want to sort through them quickly by revenue or churn, CAC, valuation, or other metrics, the easiest way to do that is to go to getlatka.com and use our filtering tool. It's like a big Excel sheet for all of these podcast interviews. Check it out right now at getlatka.com. Guys, he's cut his teeth for many years in B2B SaaS. He used Zuora back at his last company and said there's got to be a better way to bill enterprise customers and track things like net retention, et cetera. He's now selling Unium directly to CFOs. Started off cold calling back in 2017. Got his first customer. Now the team is 60 full-time, 20 engineers, 6 quota-carrying sales reps, 200 paying customers, and an average ACV of around 30K. They're moving up market, past $6 million of ARR, and done it pretty capitally efficient with just $10 million raised as they look to continue to scale. Hey folks, my guest today is Nicholas Lilja. He's building a subscription hub for B2B software companies at Unium.com, launched 7 years ago back in 2017. Now growing, we're going to learn about it today. Nicholas, you ready to take us to the top?
Sure. Happy to be
All
here.
All right. So for folks that haven't heard of you, just give us a quick overview. What's the company do? How do you make money?
So we serve software and SaaS companies, preferably in B2B. And what we do is that we provide a SaaS for them to manage their subscriptions and their contracts with their end customers so that they can, you know, do the quoting, they can do the subscription management, they can do the billing, they can get all the finances in place and, you know, do the metrics and get that from a, not from a spreadsheet, but actually from transactions like ARR, NRR, no, retention rates, etc.
This real-time data is obviously really important. I think my audience will be wondering, okay, I use like Ramp or Brex and they build some of this inside of their tools. You're pure play, I think, doing expense management like this. How would you compare and contrast yourself to some of these card providers?
So we're not doing expense management. We are on the customer invoicing side. So it's more on they, you know, selling and getting paid for the software, so or their things. So that's more on the side where we're in. But definitely, we are pure. You know, that's the only thing we do. We typically sit between like a Salesforce and a HubSpot and a backend like a NetSuite or a QuickBooks, and perhaps your own service and how to get that orchestrated and done in a good way, all the way from, you know, quoting, dealing with the subscription over its lifetime. Maybe you're doing upsells, you're doing indices, you're doing things with that. Maybe it's a customer success team. Maybe you do self-service. How to get that all in one place, have one source of truth, and then make sure everything is correct when it turns to like revenue recognition, when you have your, you know, your ARs to report to the board, etc. So that's how we typically fit in.
Yeah. I misunderstood you, so thanks for the clarification. You're way more like a ChargeB or Stripe.
Yeah, definitely.
So how would you, okay, so same question, right? How would you compare yourselves against them? Or do people use you both together? ChargeB plus Unium, Stripe plus Unium?
No. I think it's fairly straightforward, I would say. So we are focused only on B2B. So we don't do any B2C. So you definitely have some players, you know, doing a bit of B2C and also like B to small B, where it's very, very standardized. Maybe it's an online $99 a month, very standardized. They are doing it great, you know, go with that. We're more into like when companies are doing bigger deals, maybe higher average revenue per deal, maybe more light items, perhaps a bit more, how would you say, more custom, it could be as well, or a mix of like an online channel and enterprise deals. And that's typically where we come in. So I would say it's quite a depending on what kind of business you're having. What makes sense.
Yeah. So going back to the founder story here, obviously a lot of people, at least I think the best founders, they build for their own pain they had. Before Unium, where were you? How did you discover that this was a problem you wanted to build for?
Yeah. So I've been in the software or SaaS industry for some 20 years now. So I started my career at Medius. So they were actually doing supplier invoice management and a bit of expense management as well. And sort of did the whole journey from selling software, you know, installations and all that stuff, and doing the transformation into the cloud and subscription models. And pretty much did everything around that. And one of the last things we did actually was to, you know, get one of these pure play systems ready for that. And, in, you know, introduce it to the organization, etc. And I just figured, so I've been thinking about I wanted to start my own company at some point. But I need an
idea. Just
to
be clear, you built this from scratch inside of Medius and said, I need to build this for everybody.
No. So no, quite the opposite. We went with another solution. And I thought like, okay, if this is the best the market has to offer, maybe we can do something better. So that's
so now, Nicholas, I want to know which one. Who did you use?
Super short. We used Zora back in the time. I think they are still named the category leader.
They're getting killed in the public markets, though. I mean, they're down a lot.
Yeah, but I mean,
have they tried to acquire
you? That's where we're at, and I figure like we can do something better, and maybe we can do it, you know, with a bit more local approach. Maybe we can do it for companies that are not so. I felt like I was, you know, my background was that I'd seen, you know, that it's not always perfect.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
It always looks perfect, but in reality, it's not.
Talk to me a little bit more about how you're going to market. Pricing is a key piece of go-to-market, right? So how do you package this? What's the average customer paying you per month to use Unium?
So typically, I would say like an average price point is around $30,000 a year, that is, right? So that's some average, but you know, quite a big spread from small companies to big companies as well. We try to align it with value, and then, you know, we try to find some sort of proxy that you also can measure, right? So we typically find, you know, number of legal entities and some sort of AR tier being the best proxy so far. So that's how we do it. So if you have 10 companies in 10 countries and you're making, you know, $100 million, the value will be something different from, you know, one company in one country. And $1 million, right? So we try to proxy that as much as possible.
Yeah. A good way to measure the value of your utility-based pricing metrics, in your case, ARR level plus number of legal entities, is to look at net revenue retention, right, over time. So when you look at those value metrics, are you able to drive 120, 130% net revenue retention?
Nope, not yet. But we're definitely, you know, aiming to do that. We are growing, but I also think during our course of the 7 years, I think we have sort of found our path as well. I think we're moving a bit more upstream as well and to bigger and bigger accounts. So a bit of a shift there. But we're not seeing the 120, 130 yet.
Are you over 100%?
I think also like we're in our size, I know there's a lot of talk about like net retention, and I totally agree that it's of course important to have that because it's, you know, a value. What do the customers say? What do they really, really think when it comes to the wallet, right? But I think also when you are, you know, when you're not super, super big, I think like new customer growth is equally, if not more, important as well. If you do the math, I definitely see, you know, a ramping effect if you accumulate over years. But also, I think like new customer growth is equally important in the early days.
So, Nicholas, tell me that story. How did you get your first customer?
If we exclude sort of the, you know, a few friends and families in the beginning, two or three, the first one was actually me on the phone calling, 20 companies back in my hometown.
Where was your hometown?
Stockholm.
What job? Sweden. And so what job title, you know, were you targeting?
It was doing this. So we'd been sort of, you know, creating some sort of prototype in this space for like 5 months. And then I started calling and, you know, trying to get some meetings and, you know, very, very not fancy.
Well, Nicholas, what give us some sense of what job title were you targeting back in the early days? Head of CFO. Revenue, CRO?
CFO. Our thesis was that, you know, you can sort of get by with a lot of things, but in the end, it all falls down into the lap of the CFO and they have to figure out the solution. But if you're in sales, you can do something and then you can just push it downstream. But in the end, someone will have to say, okay, these are the correct figures and they are by the book and they're all good. And that's typically where the problem sort of ended up. So that's where we started. So we took it from a very much of a, you know, financial function perspective when we started up.
And what was your ACV back then on average, back in 2017?
I think it was okay, to be honest. But maybe towards like 18 or 20, something like that. But it was actually, you know, quite good in the beginning, and then I think we had a bit of a slump when we sort of expanded the organization and we took a bit more of a broader approach, and then we've been, you know, kicking off here.
What do you mean broader approach? How many folks are full-time today, would you say, at the company?
So we're currently close to 60.
60. How many engineers?
Yeah. Around 20.
Wow, so heavy.
It's a third. Yeah. I mean, we're not done, right? I mean, we're sort of in the first stint of what we want to achieve.
And is this price point large enough where you can afford to put sort of sales reps on the sale? And if so, how many quota carrying reps do you have?
So at the moment, I think we are 6 quota carrying reps. Yes, we can. And I think we're definitely moving sort of a bit upwards. But I also do think that for most companies, it is not only an IT project. It's not only a software. It's also a change project. And I think at least for a while, I think we will be better off with some human touch and some one-to-one interaction, both in the sales process as well as onboarding.
A lot of folks listening to this, especially SaaS and Nordics, they might be wondering, how do I hire my first 2 reps? What quota do I give them? How much time should I give them to ramp up to that quota? How did you make those decisions for your first 1 or 2 sales hires?
I think we didn't really put a quota and treated them as a sales rep. It was more like, hey, now we're going to do this together. So I think that's a bit of a different approach, maybe. And you know, okay, let's lean in, let's do this together, and you know, find out how to do it. But I think we've always, when we've been talking about quota, we've been talking about, you know, the 5 times or the 4 to 6 times ARR is what it should be. But I think it's also overly optimistic thinking that you will have that on day one when you don't have a brand, you don't have a solution, you don't have the customer reference, you don't have it, right? So I think you have to be a bit careful with not oversetting that. I think you have to sort of grow into that quota as well. So, yeah.
So what do you, Nicholas, what do you set quotas today for your AEs?
So today it's 5 times ARR.
5 times ARR or 5 times their salary?
Oh, sorry. 5
You're
times
good.
OTE. but the OTE should be 5. All right.
You know, you're I think I got what you're saying. Yeah, 5 times. Say that one more time.
The ARR they bring in should be 5 times the OTE.
Yeah. So, and is it correct. Is it fair to say that an OTE at Unium is going to be, or an OT is going to be somewhere between call it 100 and 200K? So you're expecting something like a 600 to 800K quota?
Yeah, I think like salary levels are quite different depending on whether you're in different countries in Europe and in the US. But yes.
Well, that's why I asked. That's why I want to know what yours was. I know it's different than what I hear in the US.
I think like this is not pure. This is not fully scientific. But if I would guess something, I would like take salaries being half of the US.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In Northern Europe, and then somewhere maybe a bit higher in some parts of Europe, but you know,
So you started off cold calling 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago, right? Not that long ago, seven, eight years ago. You then build the team up to 60 people. You've got 6 quota carrying reps. You're onboarding sales reps now. With all these things you've learned, how many customers are you now serving?
So we crossed 200.
Wow!
So that's good. So now it feels like, you know, a decent size, so very, very happy about that. And it's going faster and faster, so I'm really, really happy about that as well.
What growth rate are you targeting this year?
So rolling 12 months, we're looking at some 60%. It's been a bit higher actually in the beginning of the year, but I think around 60. So
You'd be
60, and then
happy if
targeting
you're.
cash flow positive by, end of 2024. So that's sort of the balancing act that we're trying to do.
Well, we're obviously certainly rooting for you. That'd be great if you could hit that. Could we also, can we take the 200 paying customers times the 30,000 average ACV you told me earlier to multiply those to get a revenue figure of around 6 million today? Would that be fair?
It would be fair. It's on the lower side, but yeah, maybe it's 30, something, but yeah.
30% too low?
No, the 30K per customer is probably 31 or 32. I know something, but when you multiply with 200, it still sort of becomes something. So, I would say around like $6.5 million US dollars, something like that.
Well, congratulations on what you've built. As we wrap up here, I think you've also done this fairly capitally efficiently. How much have you raised to date?
Around 10 million US dollars. I think we're trying to keep it as sort of a one-to-one on our own ARR. And I think it's looking fairly good to do that as well.
So is it fair to say you
And then
probably
whether
won't
it's
test?
efficient, better.
Yeah. Is it fair to say then you probably won't go out to test the equity markets until you get your 6 million ARR up to 10 million ARR, so your raised to ARR is 1:1?
Yeah, maybe. At least I think going above like eight or something. Yes, we'll see. I mean, I think it's heavily dependent on the markets as well. I think we have lots of more things we want to do, but we want to do it with, good timing.
Yep.
Let's see when that is.
Oh. Great. Well, hey, let's wrap up here, Nicholas, with a famous five. Number one, what's the software tool that you pay the most for?
I paid the most for over the years. It was Sora.
Zora, fair enough. Number two, who's the last CEO you had coffee with?
It was a guy on Friday in the Philadelphia area called Gene Goddick.
Which his company or her company?
So he's with G Squared. He's an he does outsourced finance and CFO, fractional CFO.
Ah, great.
So very
Great. Okay.
local.
That's good. Number three, is there a favorite book, a software book or business book that you have?
I know I really enjoy the book First Break All the Rules. I don't remember the author now, but I both like the title, and I did like a lot of the content as well. And that it doesn't have to be just one way, maybe.
Great. And Nicholas, how many hours of sleep are you getting every night?
I'm actually good at that. Eight, I would say.
That's healthy.
Plus
What's
small
your
kids.
how many? See, I was gonna say, what's your situation? Married, single, kids?
Married, two kids, 10 and 12. They are starting to like to, sleep in the morning. But in all honesty, I think it's also a very good thing for me. I feel like I'm doing better things,
That's
so I
great. And
recommend.
how old are you, Nicholas?
How old I am?
You.
45.
Last
No, yeah,
questions.
45.
45. Something you wish you knew when you were 20.
That people around you don't care so much about what you do. They are very much obsessed with what they are doing. To keep on doing what you do.
Guys, he's cut his teeth for many years in B2B SaaS. He used Zuora back at his last company and said there's got to be a better way to bill enterprise customers and track things like net retention, et cetera. He's now selling Unium directly to CFO, started off cold calling back in 2017, got his first customer. Now the team is 60 full-time, 20 engineers, 6 quota-carrying sales reps, 200 paying customers, and an average ACV of around 30K. They're moving up market past 6 million bucks of ARR and done it pretty capitally efficient with just 10 million bucks raised as they look to continue to scale. Nicholas, thanks for taking us to the top.
Thank you so much. What a summer.